Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rexrode. I'm Joe Rexrode in today with the legendary Mark Howard in for Robbie. That's right. I said the legendary. The legend. Is that okay?
That's how they label you when you get old.
How about venerable? Venerable is a good. Yeah, that's a good,
exactly.
Right? You're a little, more mature. great to have you in today, Mark. Ryan Porth producing. Robbie Stanley is camping, kayaking,
glamping.
Is he glamping? Have you heard this? Have you heard the term glamping, Mark?
I have not.
Okay, I heard it for the first time yesterday. So there's camping, which I think Robbie is actually doing, right? Is Robbie actually camping, or is he actually glamping?
I have to think he's glamping.
There's a little bit. So glamping apparently is like camping, but, you know, with electricity and the, you know, having all the luxuries, apparently.
Glamour camping.
Yeah, glamour camping. So I don't know. I'd like to know the dividing line there. Like, do you have to make fire with sticks to not be glamping? You know what I mean? Do you know?
Yes.
You do. So you actually have to create your own fire, kill your own meat, or else you're glamping.
Yes, exactly.
So anyway, Robbie is doing something out in the Grand Canyon. It's great to have you here today. And I'd like to just continue our conversation we were just having off air, actually. Like, you got some stories.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure you have stories, too. You hang around long enough, you get to have some great experiences and cross paths with a lot of interesting people. Or a lot of people before they became interesting. So yeah, it was. It's been a fun ride so far.
So give me the. But so Mark's telling me about AAA play-by-play for the Wichita
Arrows.
The Wichita Arrows.
I scammed my way into that job. By the way, I had done all of 12 innings of real baseball. The Elmira Pioneer Red Sox, because I went to school in Ithaca, New York, and one of my radio interns was the regular play-by-play guy, and he let me do a few innings. And I took that tape, edited out all the mistakes, pumped up the bass, and found out that there were three jobs available that I knew of, one in single A, double A, and triple A. I figured I had the best shot in single A, and I didn't even get an interview. Double A, never heard from him. And one day the guy, the GM from the Triple A team, called me and essentially offered me the job.
And you got to, you didn't tell me the age, but you have, credit, a strikeout of one Barry Bonds.
Yeah. 22. Our first year we were the Triple A affiliate of the Texas Rangers. And Bobby Bonds was on our team for 2 months. He had just been released by the Cardinals, got signed by Texas, who was our parent team. And Barry came in to see him for a few days, and you know he was a kid. I don't even know if he was a teenager yet, but
it still counts.
Struck him out in tape ball.
That still counts.
But those were. Maybe the two best summers of my life, going around the country, and it was at a good time too. We can get into all this too, where it was college without the homework, and maybe you know I should have been, I don't know if I should have been more serious about my job because I was, but I definitely had a good time.
Yeah, play by play. I mean that's a tough. Way to go, right? I mean, it's a grueling game.
Yeah, 140 games to win the games by yourself. But I made a lot of friends. You learn to hang out with the umpires and not the players. Although I ended up, you know, just invariably because I was the same age as them, hung out with a number of players. But whatever the case. Yeah, it was fun. It was a great way to start out.
So you've been in Nashville for 35 years.
35 years.
And of those 35 years, how many years, and I really, I don't remember exactly, has the NFL schedule been some massive news event? I mean, it used to just come to my inbox. Like, here you go. And it is now a three-hour special last night.
You know, I almost think sometimes, and I know it's not true, but you wonder, the NFL, like with the Aaron Rodgers thing, they love this because it keeps them talking about the league. But the schedule release, I agree with your column in The Athletic, and that is, we know who the Titans are playing. We weren't sure the exact order. We knew it was probably going to end with Houston or Indianapolis. But beyond that, okay. I was sort of underwhelmed at their national profile. But beyond that, because my take on the schedule is it's always going to look different in October and November. So there's so much speculation that's put into it early on the front end that I think it's ridiculous. We don't know what the injuries are going to be. We don't know who the players that are going to explode on the scene are going to be. So I sort of take it with a grain of salt.
Well, right, the strength of schedule thing. Yes. That's another thing. So it's like that part of it, I mean, really, basically we found out, you know, like you said, order, TV, you know, fans who want to book travel and stuff, that's great. You can, okay, we're going to, I know a lot of them just looked, okay, which weekend are we going to Nashville? Okay, we're going that weekend to Nashville. But, like, people are putting out all this strength of schedule stuff yesterday. Like, you could have done this, you know, you could have done this months ago. I mean, I know they added the extra game, which, by the way, I need your take on this, Mark, because Ryan Porth, producing today, has heard me many, many times complain about a 17th game. Or does it bother you as much as it bothers me? Am I overreacting to this?
I guess I'm so numb to the fact of how the NFL does business. I mean, we all know this is going to be a short bridge to an 18th game.
Right.
And that's exactly what's going on here. But, yeah, I think a 17th game is awkward. And usually in the NFL, it's all about equality. The Titans this year are the beneficiaries of getting, you know, 9 home games. But, you know, next year it'll presumably be 8. But, yeah, the 17-game schedule. The other thing I don't like, you know, being sort of a numbers guy, I think in a lot of ways it's going to sort of – and NFL stats anyway to me are that way, that, you know, unlike baseball, which got ruined by the whole steroid scandal – but this, you know, the scheduling and adding games to me diminish some of the numbers. But, you know, they don't ask me about that.
Well, right. I mean, that's the thing. The NFL has done a lot of things. This schedule thing. I mean, the drafts as a huge event. These are pretty recent developments. Yeah. They've dominated. They have led the way. And look, I can't begrudge them, you know, making money. But 1978. I mean, we're talking about 1978. So my lifetime of watching football is I look at things through the 16-game prism, right? Now, granted, the passing stats and all that, that's already, you know, that's already, but a totally different thing. But, like, the rush, 2,000 yards in 16 games means something.
Well, and you know, getting to 1,000 yards
right
used to be a huge benchmark. Now you have to average, what, 60 yards a game, especially with 17. And you're right, it diminishes the 2,000-yard rusher, and again, you know, we're just going to have to, I guess, just sort of, you know, reset our belief system as far as numbers go in the NFL. But they're going to 18. It may be sooner, maybe later, but this is what it is.
Yeah, they're going to 18, no doubt about it. Now, the Titans' schedule, of course, came out last night along with everyone else's. This also means that there is a positive here to me, which is, there's 3 preseason games, so that's the thing. You knew, like,
and only one of them's here.
Yeah, yeah. You knew that the inventory's not going down. The owners are not going backward with the total inventory. But look, if the trade-off is they go to 18 and you end up with 2 preseason games, and you keep it at 20, I mean, that is better, right? I mean, life is better.
I have always maintained, Joe, that the preseason is a glaring example of consumer fraud. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's I don't even know why, as a fan, I would even care, other than the fact that you might see your starters, you know, for a quarter or maybe a half. But, yeah, you know, your team's not trying to win the game. I understand it's a dress rehearsal and all that. But in the second half, you're watching guys who aren't even going to play, aren't even going to be on the roster. You know, so, and I'm sure many people share this sentiment. But, yeah, the less preseason games, the better. The NFL managed to get through last year without any preseason games. So that sort of diminished the argument from coaches about what they needed to prepare for the season. So I would say in the future it's going to be probably two preseason games and 18 regular season games. I remember growing up where there were six preseason games. I mean, how wacky is that?
I know. And like, because I know there was one here long ago. It was like, right? It was like the Bears came here, whatever.
Oh,
they were traveling
remember.
Around. And
I remember the Bills came here to play Tampa Bay. And they played at Vanderbilt. And it was huge. It was. It was. And they gave us all kinds of access.
So what year is this?
Oh, gosh. I want to say late 80s.
So Jim Kelly there yet?
Oh, Kelly was
Kelly
there.
Kelly was there. Okay.
Kelly was
okay.
there. Watched him warm up on the sidelines. And was amazed at how his ball hissed. It was like a major league fastball, and I'd never heard that before.
So they packed Vanderbilt Stadium for Bills.
They got a
Bucks.
Decent. There were some local guys on the team. Will Wolford was still playing for the Bills. I want to think that it was just as they were beginning their four straight years to the Super Bowl. But, yeah, I mean, Marv Levy was delightful. And I think Sam Weich was coaching the Bucks, the Yucks. But,
right.
Yeah, that's what we got.
That was the 1988 season.
Okay. Yeah.
The Bills were still pretty bad, but they were just about to start getting really good.
Yeah.
That's before I was born.
But, yeah, the Bears would come here because their quarterback in the 60s was Bill Wade.
Yes, yes.
And Bill Wade – you know, I met him, you know, in later years, of course. But Bill Wade was as big a star in this city as there ever was. You know, being on television and all that, and took the Bears to the NFL championship in 1963.
Yep. And of course, I mean, the thing with preseason games, like Mike Vrabel, completely. I mean, he barely plays anyone.
Yeah.
Less and less do we even see. Players, it's basically just to get the bottom of the roster figured out. So I think two is going to be fine. So there's one positive. We got to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to get into the Titans schedule. And I feel like the Titans should be on primetime more. Maybe I'm overreacting to that. We will get Mark's take on that. This is Robbie and Rexroad, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad. Joe Rexroad, Mark Howard, Ryan Porth. Talking some Titans schedule, NFL schedule. I'll be honest, guys. I haven't really gone through all the national games and things like that yet. I'm mostly focused on the Titans schedule.
You haven't memorized it yet?
I haven't. I will go ahead and throw out there, I bet you the Cowboys are on a lot. I know the Raiders are on a lot.
The Bears are on a lot.
Yeah, well, yeah. The Bears at least made the playoffs last year, so I'll give them that.
But they're also just boring.
Yeah, maybe they'll be less boring. Maybe they'll be less boring
with
now.
Your boy Justin Fields.
That's right. I mean, it's going to be a big conflict for me, you know. So, Mark, I grew up a Lions fan.
Ah,
okay, but I disavowed the Lions when Barry Sanders left what should have been. It still was one of the great careers, Hall of Fame career. But I mean, he could have had all the records and just held them. And I said, you know what? They've ruined too many careers. I'm done, and it's been a great life change. But I still hate the Packers and Bears. So I've given up the Lions, but have not stopped hating those. But I tell you what, it's going to be a little bit of a conflict with Justin Fields there.
Yeah, I grew up a psychotic Giants fan.
Okay.
My family, you know, attended games. Still, my brother-in-law still is a season ticket holder. But when you leave the region and you start immersing yourself, you know, in a team, it just becomes different. But, I know how that feels.
Yeah. Well, and so, like, I've got a 13-year-old who I'm like, go. He's got a Derrick Henry. I'm like, be a Titans fan. You're in Nashville. He's gone to games. He's loved it. He is, but he still roots for the freaking Lions, and it's so I don't know what to do as a parent, you know? There are probably bigger issues to focus on with teenage boys, but that one's tough to get over. But the Titans' schedule. Okay, here's my thing. I feel like the Titans should be on primetime more. Now, I got into a text battle last night with a mutual friend, Mr. Kaharski, who is all over me for writing that the Titans, they got two primetime games, okay? Everybody gets a Thursday. So we start with one, okay? So the Titans get one Sunday, they get one Monday. Here's my case. They won 11-5. They won the division. Before that, they went to the AFC Championship game. And I understand market and all that stuff, okay? But it's also a very fun team. I think this is one of the more entertaining teams now, and there's a lot of entertaining teams. There's a lot of offense in the league. But I think when you have Derrick Henry, that's something people want to watch, is it not? I just think a case could be made for the Titans to get one or two more of those, and that like the Cowboys are getting five or whatever. You know, it's I understand how it works, and we know the same teams are going to get a lot, but I think the Titans deserve one more. Am I off base?
Not necessarily, but I also think that the networks and the league have a certain pecking order when it comes to teams, and I really believe this. The whole Google search thing, you know, came out a few years ago. You know, which team was searched the most on Google, and the Titans were pretty far down. And to the league, that means not a lot of national appeal. I also think that that there's a definite school of thought that the Titans are going to take a fall this year. That you know, you look at their turnover ratio. You look at how many close games they won last year, and that's usually a sign of regression the next year. Plus, Tannehill and Henry have enjoyed extraordinary health the last 2 years. I'm just saying, I'm not wishing any of this into the universe, but I'm just saying that, the Titans have had their share of injuries, but for their big stars on offense, it's been pretty good. And they're going to have, you know, one of these years, one or both of them are going to go down, and the Titans are going to have to improvise.
Well, then you're going to have regression for sure.
Yeah.
And those stats you mentioned, those are fair. Those certainly have played out that way in the past. Although I feel like a lot of times these schedules are, it's not a ton of foresight put into them. It's more like reacting to what you were a year before. But regardless, look, I get it. I just feel like, okay, like kind of comparable markets, Buffalo, even like Baltimore, you know, like I feel like teams like that even get more play than the Titans.
I don't think in a lot of these cases, I think you're right. And, you know, a lot of these networks suffer from recency bias and look too much at what that team did last year and maybe not look ahead at what they might be this year. But, I don't make those decisions. But I thought the Titans might be on a little bit more. But they are on Sunday night. They are on Monday night. And they're on Thursday. So that's typically a pretty good year for them.
And, look, one thing that we don't have with this schedule, which I'm grateful to see, we do not have the Titans-Jaguars Thursday.
Yes.
Like, the Thursday game is good. And it's a potentially a big one. Thursday night football, Nissan Stadium, 2 days before Christmas, San Francisco 49ers. That's an intriguing game. So their Thursday game's good. It feels like an actual primetime opportunity, right?
That used to be the Jim Nance. What did I do to deserve this game?
Yeah, right. And the color rush with the Jags look like a baby's diaper. I mean, yeah, just some.
And the Smurfs for the Titans.
Yes. Right, yeah, the pajama game. The other two primetime games, of course, you got an actual scheduled game also at Nissan Stadium against the Buffalo Bills, of course. Now, the Titans did get four last year because the COVID-19 outbreak, they end up playing on a Tuesday. And by the way, and this is part of my text battle back to PK. Oh, they did okay in that primetime game. You know, they were 2-2 last year. They, you know, lost to the Colts, Packers. Who'd they beat? They beat the Bills and Who am I forgetting? Porth. They were 2-2, I know this.
Well, they lost.
They lost to the Colts at
right.
home. They got drubbed by the Packers, and that was a very poor showing and a very big opportunity.
They beat the Broncos.
Yes, thank you. They were, yeah,
season
the
opener.
Which is, by the way, does not exist anymore, by the way. The doubleheader on Monday Night Football, which doesn't make me sad either. But also, another big one is the Sunday Night Football opportunity, and this is in Los Angeles against the Rams. Matthew Stafford, you know, potential, maybe the best defense on the schedule, Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald. That's a big one too. So I like the primetime games are big games. And that's what primetime games should be. But, you know, sometimes those Thursdays can get, you know, a little dicey. What are your, when you just glance at this schedule, Mark, what jumps out at you?
Well, they're definitely playing against playoff caliber teams. The 49ers game should be really interesting. You know, who knows who's going to be starting at quarterback for San Francisco at this point. You know, the 49ers are a pretty well-run team. So you got to figure that, you know, for a team that went through all those injuries, they will bounce back this year. You know, that's not going to be easy. The Bills games have become kind of fun. They kind of evened out last year with the Titans finally beating them. The Bills had won ugly the previous two times they played. But, yeah, you know, these are going to be highly promoted games because they appear to be against playoff contenders.
Ryan Porth, when you saw the full thing and went through it, what jumped at you? I think the bye week. Oh, I'm sorry. I think the off week.
I was about to say you just fell for the trap.
This is another one of my big issues, Mark. A bye is in a tournament.
Yeah,
it's not a bye. What do I call it? Not off week, but there's another word for it.
I think you just say off week.
Everything. Okay, fine.
They're idle.
Off week. Idle. Thank you. Their idle week is week 13. So that's good for the Titans. They get it, you know, between. So it's basically the December 5th weekend. I think anytime you have a late off week, I think that usually serves you well. But what jumped out at you, Porth, when you just looked at the whole thing?
Well, week 6, 7, 8, Bills, Chiefs, Colts. That's what jumped out to me right off the top. And also,
and by the way, the Rams are right after that.
Exactly.
That's a quartet right there.
Exactly. That's murderer's row. Also, if you're the NFL, how do you not have a Titans-Colts game late in the year? You know those two teams are going to be battling for the AFC South, and only those two teams. It could be a game that could potentially be flexed to prime time if one of your big market, you know, Sunday night or Monday night games isn't worth anything, and they're done on Halloween.
I think they totally blew that because it's Colts-Jags, right, at the end. And that's how it goes a lot. But, yeah, like this year, look at the schedule and say, yeah, have the Colts and Titans be the AFC South teams that play at the end. No, that's a big miss.
Or put them on week 15 or 16, whatever, where that could be kind of what that Titans-Texans game was a couple years ago, where that felt like it was the division title game right then and there.
Right. And, I mean, the Titans-Colts played in the finale just 3 years ago, so it's not
and
like
it was
they
when
can't
you're
do
in.
It.
Right.
And it was flexed to Sunday night. So, no, I agree. That was a miss. It's a challenging schedule. And, again, we knew the opponents. But when you see it week after week after week, it does look a little bit different. So when we come back, we are going to get into a little bit of game by game. I went through and made some picks off the cuff last night. I'm going to throw those out there and have Mark and Ryan react to that. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Show at ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, welcome back in Thursday edition. Robbie and Rex Show, Joe Rex Show, and with Mark Howard, Ryan Porth producing. We're talking Titans schedule. If you'd like to join in, give us a call. Give us a text. The text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I do have some rants here from Rick. Actually, Rick is kind of apologizing, Porth, for being so mean to us. So thank you, Rick. It's okay. We actually enjoy some of your rants. He calls them Rick's rants. But yeah, join in on this. We're talking Titans. We're talking schedule, and now going through the schedule. So let's do that. I, you know, wrote something for The Athletic last night right off the schedule and threw in some picks. And it sets up to me, guys, to be a streaky kind of season. Doesn't mean it's going to play out that way, but you've got, and I don't know that there's, you know, super easy stretches, but there are stretches where I could see this team going on some runs, and I think they're going to have to go on some runs. And we already mentioned in the last segment, there's some brutal stretches in this schedule. So let's just get into it, and you guys can laugh or argue at any point here with what I've got. Let's just go right through them, okay? Titans open, Cardinals, week one. An attractive game. I've got a W there. Then they go out to Seattle. So they go. You go from Kyler Murray to Russell Wilson. That's an interesting. You know, if we're going to see if this defense can affect quarterbacks, get off field on third down, things like that. Bud Dupree, Caleb Farley, on and on. I mean, we're going to find out quickly what some of these changes have led to. So I went W again. I went W again in Seattle.
Surprised you went there.
That's one of those swing games on the schedule to me. You got the Colts at home. The Titans don't beat the Colts at home. I don't know why I keep picking the Titans to beat the Colts at home. And Brian Porth, you've made your feelings very clear on this. But I think this year is different. I think the Titans are set up to start strong because of the continuity on offense. You know, you get Taylor Lewan back. We'll see on right tackle. We'll see with the rest of the receiving core. But Tannehill, Brown, Henry, Firkser. I mean, I feel like, you know, from that perspective, they should be ready to rock. That's 3-0. Then they go to the Jets. You get to see Corey Davis. You get to see Adoree Jackson. I got them 4-0. Then you have the Jaguars on the road. That's Trevor Lawrence, Urban Meyer. Boy, we could talk about that for a while. I got them starting 5-0, okay? I know. It's just like last year. It's a fantasy.
I don't see how they win in Seattle.
You don't see how they win in Seattle? Okay.
That is one of the toughest road games of the year. The Seahawks, after last season, are going to be intent if they, you know, about starting well. And I just don't see them winning there. But
hopefully, that's a full stadium. Hopefully we're talking full stadiums, and then you've got again. That's one of the great, and I have not seen that atmosphere, but that is one of the great atmospheres in the NFL and in sports. And I imagine some of these atmospheres, if they are able to return to normal, are going to be maybe a little extra spicy this year. So I hear you. I think if the Titans are 4-1 at that point, which also won't be easy, by the way. I mean, the Colts game is going to be very tough. But if they're 4-1, then they're in position to handle what's next. Because here's the thing: in my little spin through the schedule, I got them losing 4 in a row. Okay, I got them losing 4 in a row after starting 5-0. The Bills, Bills are tough, man. I think the Bills are really good. I think the Bills are a legit Super Bowl contender. I think the Bills are going to remember what happened here last year. There's Monday Night Football. Josh Allen, again. This defense, you know, we're going to find out a lot well before Halloween, because then, of course, October 24th, Patrick Mahomes comes in here. I mean, I don't know. You don't really need to say anything other than can't wait to see Caleb Farley press Tyreek Hill. As he said, he's looking forward to doing. So I got an L there. On Halloween, they go to Indy, and then a week later they go to. We talked about this game, the Rams. Matthew Stafford, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey. Try to make Jalen Ramsey tackle Derrick Henry, but he's an awfully good cornerback. So I got 4 losses in a row there. Then you get to New Orleans at home, you get to the Texans at home, you get a chance to get well, okay? I mean, so I've got 4 more wins in a row. I know this is not going to play out this way, but you go Saints at home, and I think the Saints are about to just nosedive. You got the Texans there. To me, that's the worst team in the AFC South, worse than the Jaguars already. You go to New England. That's a big one.
Vrabel owns Belichick.
You know, at New England, protege, mentor, before the idol week, and then you come back home for the Jags. So what does that make them?
In my 9-4.
Okay. So I've got them 9-4.
They start 5-0, then they're 5-4, and then they're 9-4.
And then they're 9-4. Yeah. It's a streaky team in this fantasy scenario. So then you get the final stretch here, which again, I'm like, oh, 9-4, so 3 games left. No, I'm sorry. 9-4, 4 games left. You're going to Pittsburgh in December. December 19th game, Pittsburgh. You follow that up with the short week and the Niners, that Thursday game. And then a team that I think really could be interesting this year, guys, the Miami Dolphins coming in here. Jalen Waddle, you add him. You know, I think Jalen Phillips, if he's healthy, if he's fine, I think he is the best pass rusher with the most potential to be a game wrecker this year. You know, with already a good defense in place, you know, two is the story there for them. But that's, I think, a team that's going to be potentially in the mix for a playoff spot. And then you wrap it up January 9th at Houston. But I'm finishing them with LLWW. At Steelers, L. 49ers here, L. And then you beat the Dolphins and Texans, and you finish 11-6.
Yeah, I think the Dolphins are going to take a step back this year. I just think they will. And I thought Brian Flores did a phenomenal job last year. I mean, I'm not the first person to say that. But, yeah, I agree with you on pretty much all counts. The Patriots game is going to be an interesting one. There are going to be some swing games here. If they could split the Bills and Chiefs, you know, that gets them over a huge hump. And obviously the game at Foxborough. And you just got to believe that the Patriots, with all the money that they've spent, will bounce back this year. And their quarterback situation is going to be interesting.
Well, they're getting guys back on defense, and I think that could be a very good defense. Yeah. And yeah, I know Porth, you're not a Cam fan at all, and
Scam Newton.
I mean, he was the MVP like 5 years ago, but yeah, I mean,
a lot can change in 5 years.
That's true. I mean, he's on the wrong side of things.
I hope Jonnu Smith can catch with his feet, because that's where Cam Newton throws it.
Man. But so you think Mac Jones will be the starter there quickly, right away?
See, I don't know. I don't know how much Bill Belichick is going to throw a rookie into the fire. I don't know. He might have to, honestly.
He did with Brady.
But he did it out of necessity.
He did.
Yeah. Yeah. So he might have to do it out of necessity.
Cam wishes he was Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah, exactly.
But I agree that. So that's a swing game. I mean, I think at Pittsburgh, you know, at Pittsburgh is a – I don't know what Pittsburgh's going to be this year, but that's never an easy place to play. And if Roethlisberger is okay, like, hell, I mean, he's
how much fading. Did they – that team went from – we were talking about a perfect season. You know, they lose to Washington for the first time, totally disintegrated. Their passing game just became non-existent. And, the Browns game, good grief. What a debacle.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That was stunning. I mean, I expect them to be a good team, but that was a stunning fall for them last year. The whole NFC West, I look at all those as swing. You can't tell me the Cardinals can't come in here on opening day and put 35 points on this team and beat them, right?
Yeah.
Certainly.
I feel like that's
Butler's homecoming.
Malcolm Butler, A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Here we go. It was good in practice. We'll see if it's good for Malcolm in the game. We'll see.
Also, your boy J.J. Watt there, Joe.
Oh, my goodness, J.J. Watt. I mean, I'm sure four-sack day for him coming up. But, no, I mean, that is a game that's, to me, a toss-up game or close to it. I would favor the Titans, but there's a lot on this schedule. That, I mean, this could be a very good year, and it could be a big step back, like you said, Mark. I think a lot of people do expect that step back. I picked the Titans. We had to do this, too. We had to say, well, what's your pick, for doing the division? I picked the Titans to win the division, and my reasoning is better quarterback, better running back, better number one receiver. Those aren't the most important things necessarily. Quarterback is. But those three areas, the Titans are demonstrably better than the Colts, and that's why I pick them.
Yeah.
But most people are going to pick the Colts this year.
Yeah, but I'm not totally convinced. I have to admit, I am shocked at the fall of Carson Wentz. There was a point there where I always referred to Carson Wentz as the quarterback the Titans wished that they could have. And that really never happened. And all of a sudden, he just absolutely, plummeted. And I know part of it was injury, but he was, the quarterback that they wished Mariota would be, at least early on. And then all of just the stunning fall and trade from Philadelphia to me is just unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean he's going to be obviously a huge story here. And if he can return to anything close to what he was, it's going to be an interesting race. If not, I don't know that it's going to be all that interesting.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll get more into that. AFC South, how Mark feels about this draft class. But first, this season, catch all the action. Nashville Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9. Tonight, the Sounds face the Memphis Redbirds at First Horizon Park. Catch pregame starting at 6:20. First pitch, 6:35. Nashville Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and 312 Pizza. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Show at ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, Joe Rex Road, Mark Howard, Ryan Porth. Robbie Stanley is glamping at the Grand Canyon. And we are talking Titans, talking AFC South 2021. And I want to get, Mark, your thoughts on this draft class, but I do have a text on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. By Ron. Ron's mad that I picked the Titans. Did I pick the Titans lose to the Steelers? Is that right? Did I pick that?
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Come on, man. This is Ron. Come on, man. Ben was pretty much done last year. You telling me old man Ben is going to beat the Titans? Joe, I usually agree with what you say, but this one I think you're wrong, especially if we stay healthy. Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, I do think that's a swing game on the schedule. Tough place to play. Late season. Obviously the Steelers won last year, but that was – to your point, Mark, last segment, and that was when the Steelers were a different Steelers team than they ended up. So that's a very tough team for me to pin down. And I agree, Roethlisberger does not have a ton of time left. It kind of reminds me of Philip Rivers, at this point. I mean, he can still pick you apart with the short intermediate. He does not have the same arm strength. Or, he doesn't have the same ability to move around that he used to either, but I do think that could be a pretty good team, and I certainly think that's a swing game. There's a lot of them on this schedule, but a lot of this is going to come down to also, of course, how the Titans did in the offseason. So, first of all, just what's your overall assessment, Mark, of that? I mean, we just had the draft, but even adding Bud Dupree, Denico Autry, losing Jonnu Smith, Corey Davis, cutting Malcolm Butler, Adoree Jackson, Kenny Vaccaro, when you add it all together, what do you think of how John Robinson did here?
I think he did okay, but I will, and listen, I hope I'm wrong. Monty Rice? Now, I think John was ready to go tight end and might have got taken by surprise. But the fact that they didn't address the slot, or the tight end position, I'm just incredulous. I mean, I thought they did great at cornerback. I back up the choice of Farley. I think they really feel like the medical issue is going to be okay. I understand even going tackle in the second round because you got to be honest with yourself. You made a mistake. You can't dwell on it. You got to move on. But I'm just surprised that they didn't, go earlier for a slot receiver who can help them right away and a dynamic tight end. So I didn't get.
Yeah, well, I think tight end especially. I mean, I think this, I thought they might get, a dedicated slot guy. And we talked a lot about Elijah Moore going into the draft. Didn't work out. I'm a big Rondale Moore fan. We'll see. We'll see him week one too because he's with the Cardinals now. But the tight end thing is that is the thing that surprised me the most.
And to me, too, and I understand when something like Isaiah Wilson happens, you got to move on. And, you know, I think, you know, it was almost the perfect storm for the Titans. The whole COVID-19 thing and not being able, you know, to meet with him, you know, sufficiently and all that. But I think it did affect the Titans because the profile of just about every player that they got, they drafted a bunch of gym rats. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's pretty obvious that they were going to reemphasize that and not take a flyer on a guy who might be talented, but is also immature and, you know, has other issues like Wilson did. I think they went, you know, they went right at it and brought in guys, you know, whose attitudes and love for football is not questioned.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we had Dez Fitzpatrick on the show yesterday. You know, that a lot of people looked at that like a reach. They move up in the fourth round to get him. But there's a, you know, a four-year player in college who was, you know, he's a guy who's known for his work ethic and all that stuff.
Yep.
Really, I will say, I mean, there's an example of a player, and I think it's a surely an example of what the position was in the draft this year. I mean, when they drafted him, I'm like, oh yeah, Dez Fitzpatrick. Yeah, he's good. Good player, you know. But he's projected as a 6th, 7th round pick. Doesn't necessarily mean anything. I don't know that was a big reach, but he's one of those guys you kind of get lost in the mix. He's going to be intriguing. It's going to be critical for him to come in here and do something in that receiving core. But tight end is where I think Tommy Tremble is the guy especially.
Yeah.
You know, gets taken 2 picks before them, then they move back. And that is the pick that puzzles me the most, is the Monty Rice situation.
And as you know, Joe, production from the slot is essential because it dictates coverages. It dictates how teams cover A.J. Brown. It dictates how many men teams put in the box on the line of scrimmage to try to neutralize Derrick Henry. So it definitely has a cause and effect.
No, I agree. Look, I think that I think Anthony Firkser, and we saw it last year, Humphreys takes the hit in Cincinnati. And really, Firkser played that role, played it well. I mean, he is a mismatch. I think he's going to produce a lot this year. He's going to be important to that offense. I think that, you know, they can figure that out. But you need your next young, all-around starting tight end, and they don't have that guy right now. And that's surprising to me. And clearly they didn't like the guys at the back end of the class, you know, in the draft. But I think that's an unfortunate outcome.
And it's also and I understand that the cap this year is down and teams had to do a lot of stuff that they didn't want. But this is a cautionary tale of what happens when you don't pick up the options, you don't like your players enough that you drafted to pick up their options, or you whiff on some key draft picks and you got to, you know, all of a sudden, you know, go out there and spend and try to fill that hole. And because of that, Jonnu Smith walked. Because of that, they had to cut Butler. They had to cut Adoree Jackson. And maybe, you know, Jackson was a casualty because they didn't feel like, you know, he was going to play at a certain level. But still, it did dictate a lot of their monetary decisions.
So you mentioned the Wilson thing, like you said. I mean, I agree. Look, I'll give John Robinson credit. Like, you make a mistake, hey, take your tackle wherever you like your tackle. He takes Ray Dunn's. You know, you got to compensate and move forward from that. But obviously, one of the picks I liked the most in this class when it happened was Rashad Weaver. I was like, that's pretty good where they got him. Get him in the fourth round. I liked him a lot as a player. What do you think of that situation? There have been, you know, anonymously quoted scouts from other teams that have said they knew something was going on. The Titans put in a statement that they didn't. How do you look at that situation and how it all played out?
No, you got to know that stuff. And why does it always happen to the Titans? And that's not good. And that doesn't, mean that, you know, John Robinson and the organization is going to close their eyes to that, but you've got to have the whole profile of a player when you're bringing him in. And it obviously didn't happen with Wilson, and I just think that they should have known that about Weaver.
Yeah, I mean, the timing was tough, but still, there was a report generated, you know, well before the Friday where he actually gets charged. So No, I mean, I agree. Look, you've got to know, and you've got to adjust now so that that cannot possibly happen. And I think one of the things you do is you go back to people and you call them, right? And you call their agent.
Exactly. You call his agent and you ask his agent, is anything going on here that we need to know?
And the thing that's interesting to me is I can't see an agent lying. So, you know what I mean? I mean, you're not lying to a team or even you're not hiding something for your fourth round pick, right? You got these relationships.
You got too many other players, yeah.
So I wonder what the agent knew. But regardless, you got to figure out a way to not let this happen. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Weaver. Of course, rookie minicamp is Saturday. We're going to be out there Saturday. We're going to get a chance to see these guys on the field a little bit and talk to some of them. Probably not him, but probably some of them. So that'll be interesting. When we come back, we are going to get into the Nashville Predators. We're going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to talk specifically about Matt Duchene. How big is this postseason for him? This is Robbie and Rexrode, ESPN 102.5 The Game, coming to you from the Wholesale Inc. studios, powered by RumbleOn.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.